Now, we want to turn our thoughts to the Word of God. And I will read the 12th verse of the 2nd chapter of Philippians for a beginning point. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, whose salvation is this that you're responsible for? Yours. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God help us that we'll fear and tremble before the Lord and walk humbly before Him. Be submissive to Him in His instructions to us and in the admonitions of His Word and Spirit to us. By the guidelines that He lays down for us in His Word, that we will work out our salvation. Now, there are entirely too many, and maybe it would affect all of us a little bit at times, that get a little agitated about other people. And every time we do that, that's a hindrance to us. Every time you get your eyes on anyone else, and they kind of gouge you, and you get kind of agitated about them, that's a hindrance to you. The most of us seem like at times we kind of engage in the pastime of straightening out other folks. Now, folks, you can't do that. You can criticize them, and you can condemn them if you want to, but you can't straighten them out. It takes God to straighten people out. And the very best thing that you and I can do when someone's a trial to us is pray for them. That's the very best thing we can do for them. And that's the best thing we can do for ourselves too, is pray for them. Not make them a topic of conversation, but put in our time interceding God in their behalf. After all, if somebody gouges me, I might be the fellow that needed the help instead of them anyhow. And I'm pretty sure I do need some help, or I wouldn't get gouged that way. And I wouldn't be agitated. I'm pretty sure I need some help when that happens to me. This text says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The working out of your salvation is a lifetime job. You'll never be through with it till you draw your last breath and land inside the portals of glory. You'll never get through working out your salvation. It's a steady job. Let us realize that. And the problems that arise in life afford us with the urgency of doing some more work on our salvation. You're saved today. Thank the Lord for that. But you're not safe till you land inside the portals of glory. It's a lifetime job working out your salvation. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And the fellow that thinks the most that he stands is the one that's the most likely to fall. Let him take heed. When we get an inflated idea of ourselves and we think that we're so solid that everyone that isn't as solid as we are is a trial to us, we're just likely to fall through being so tried at that other fella, because he's not up there where I think I am. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now let us recognize that that's a possibility with every one of us. It isn't a necessity. We don't have to fall, but it's possible for every one of us to fall. And let us guard against it and pursue our course with all diligence in the will of God. The 24th chapter of Matthew, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Because iniquity shall abound." Do you think it's abounding today? Well, that puts you and me in this close spot then. We're face to face with the issue. "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Have you seen anyone's love waxing cold? Have you seen anyone failing of the grace of God? The abounding of iniquity has brought about that kind of an effect, and we're in the midst of it too. Iniquity is abounding around us just as much as it has around those folks that you take note of that have waxed cold in their love and have failed of the grace of God. Now, abounding iniquity caused that to happen to them. And we're in the same spot. It'll happen to us too if we don't guard against it. The fact that we're in the midst of abounding iniquity affords an urgency for us to work on our salvation. Keep working at it. Keep up to date with God. Then verse 13 says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I say we're saved now, but we're not saved eternally till the end. We must endure to the end. And we will endure only diligently at our salvation. Enduring to the end is spoken in connection with the abounding iniquity of the effects that it is having. And it indicates to us that you and I, if we would persevere in the grace of God, must endure right against all the abounding iniquity in this wicked and adulterous generation that we're living in, and all the effects that it'll have on the lives of the people. We must endure right against that. "He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Peter admonished us in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 17th verse. He says, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Now, we've been admonished to these things many times. God's Word is here, and it has admonished us of these things all the way. He said, seeing that ye know these things before, beware, lest ye, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The error of the wicked is all around me. Not just me, but you too. And he said, seeing this to be so, beware. Let us walk softly and humbly before God, submissive to Him, responding to His admonitions to our souls, letting God have His way in our hearts and lives, trusting Him to take us by the hand and lead us through here in this stage of the world that we're living in. Beware lest ye fall from your own steadfastness. In 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, and the 10th verse, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. God wants you and me to be sincere about what we're doing. He wants us to be working earnestly and diligently at our salvation, at our relationship with Him, at pleasing Him, at living in the center of His will. He wants us to be working diligently at that and to make our calling and election sure. I told you a while back, and I'm saying this quite a bit these days, in this reckless age in which we're living, there's a tendency to be reckless with God the same as He is reckless in our ways of life in general. But I'm saying that if you and I allow things in our lives that are questionable, we just don't feel comfortable about them, we're just not sure whether they're going to affect us good or not so good in our spiritual life, whether they'll please God or whether they won't. If we allow those things in our lives, when we get in the pinch and we need God real bad, that question's going to be there right then, and it'll be accented several times over. We've been going all along and getting along maybe pretty well. I just don't know about this thing. But it'll be right there when you need to get a prayer through. That question that's been in your mind, it'll rise up there and be magnified many times over when you're in a spot where you need to get a prayer through. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Get all the questionable things out of your life. Renounce them. Reject them. Give God the benefit of the doubt. Walk humbly and softly with Him and seek His will above all other things. Work out your own salvation. And folks, that's the only way we can do it, is just by working at it point by point and experience by experience along the line. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, in verse 14, he says, ye are made partakers of Christ if, let's don't overlook that, that's an important if right there. Ye are made partakers of Christ if ye hold fast, hold your confidence steadfast unto the end. Clear to the end. That's the only way that we're going to be made partakers of Christ is to hold our confidence steadfast unto the end. In the 5th chapter of Galatians, verse 7, he says, ye did run well. Have you seen folks like that? I've seen people look like they were going to outrun everybody. Going all the way today. Just out and going. Paul said the Galatians were that way. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Somebody hindered them folks. Is there somebody hindering you today? Are you kind of hung up about somebody? Are you kind of uncomfortable about your feelings and attitude toward somebody? Is someone kind of gouging you today? Do you get kind of agitated when you think about certain people or talk about certain people? Who doth hinder you? My advice to you is commit those people to God. Amen. Get your eyes off of them and your eyes on Jesus. I've seen folks that they get a kind of a strain toward somebody and they just can't keep their eyes off of them folks. They just see everything them folks do. Especially everything that isn't very good, they see that. And that's hindering you all the time. Who did hinder you? Folks, my advice to you, if there's anybody that hinders you, keep your eyes off of them. Don't observe people like that. It's detrimental to you. I think of a text where that God said to the Apostle Paul that he is going to send him to the Gentiles and I'll deliver you from the people. God help you and me to be delivered from the people. But folks, we are not delivered from the people till we've got victory over those people. As long as people have an effect on us to keep us agitated and to keep our minds in a kind of a turmoil, we haven't got victory over those people. We need to be delivered from the people. That's a part of working out our salvation, is get loose from people and get your eyes off of people and run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Now that may take some effort if you haven't been used to doing it that way. And it may kind of take some effort to pull your eyes away from somebody when you've been watching them being tried by them and the things they do, things they say, the way they act. So it may take some effort to break that habit. But God's broken lots of habits in the lives of men and women. Evil habits. Bad habits. That's a bad one too, I'm talking about now. That's bad too. But God help you and me to commit people to God that are a trial to us and get our eyes on Jesus and run with patience the race that is set before us. I say that there's no soul living today in this room or out of it that ever has seen anything that would agitate you the least bit when you were looking straight at Jesus. It's when you get your eyes off of Him and get them on people and get involved in personality clashes and different kinds of things, that's when you get upset. You get disturbed, agitated, and so on, but you've never seen a thing to agitate you the least bit or discourage you the least bit or hinder you the least bit in your race for eternal life when you were looking at Jesus. When I see folks getting discouraged, see them getting confused, see them getting agitated, disturbed in their minds, I just know without any question or doubt that they've gotten their eyes off of Jesus and started looking at somebody or something, somewhere. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Ye did run well, who did hinder you? Let us realize that when these things are going on with us, we're being hindered. We may think that we're well up there, above and beyond that person that's agitating us, but we're being hindered anyway. People hinder us. That's our fault. In Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verses 4 and 5, we have the message of Jesus Christ to the church at Ephesus. In the 4th verse, he commended them for a number of things. Maybe that extends on into the 5th verse too, some commendation. And he commended them for their patience and for their solid stand on God's Word and for their refusal to fellowship or associate with those who said they were apostles and were not. False brethren. He commended them for several things, and so in some respects he said the last is more than the first. They were just growing and increasing in some of those things. But he said, I have somewhat against you. We would call that a pretty good church, the way he outlined that there. But he said, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Now those folks were not persevering. They were persevering in the truth. And he said, you have tried those who say they are apostles and are not and have found them liars. I say them folks needed trying. I don't say they were out of order trying those folks. I say they needed trying. But there's a little idea revolving in the back of my mind that right in there dealing with those people. False brethren. People that said they were apostles and were not, just plain liars. Jesus called them liars. They needed trying. But I say I've got a little idea revolving in the back of my mind that it was right in there. They left that first love. They left the love out of it. It's hard for you and me to deal with people without getting a little stout toward them. Without getting a little agitated. And leaving the love of Christ out of it. And when you leave the love of Christ out of it, Christ isn't going to be any party to it. He said, I've got this against you. You've left your first love. Those folks did not persevere. At one time, Ephesus was a prospering church, a thriving church. I think Timothy was the first pastor of the Ephesian church. And he was a protege of the Apostle Paul. Had come up under him. Paul referred to him as his son in the gospel. And now he's down there in charge of this church, and it was a prospering church, a large church. Hundreds, I guess thousands of members in it. And the Ephesian epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote, some have referred to it as the clover patch of the Gospels. It certainly is a glowing picture of that church and of God's grace, which was abounding there. But they did not persevere in that. They left their first love. And when they left their first love, God would not bless them anymore in all these other things they were doing that He commended them for. And they were increasing and going on beyond in some of these categories. But His blessing was not upon them because they had not persevered in the love of Christ. God help you and me that we'll fulfill the admonition of the Scriptures. He says, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen.